This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
Yeah, here we are. Good morning, everybody. It is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. He's Derek Piper. Trevor Valise here as well. It's Monday. Today feels like a Monday. I don't know. Does it feel like a Monday to you?
Yeah,
or you having a decent day?
It's been all right for a Monday.
You know, the weather's been really good, and then all of a sudden now, it's 95-mile-an-hour winds. I don't know if it's technically that strong, but I said to you in the parking lot, I don't even know if you could hear me. I'm like, it's probably going to snow tomorrow. I mean, it's just weird.
I barely caught the snow, and I kind of just tuned out after that.
Yeah, you just let it go. You gave me the long distance... Kind of one of those, like, you didn't really know what I said. All right, a lot to do today. We are going to talk some Chicago Bulls. They have fired Gar Forman, and I want to get your reaction to that, Derek. Gar Forman is a guy, I think, that's been with the Bulls. Am I wrong when I say, like, 22 years or something?
Yeah, he was a scout for a really long time. I think he was the GM since 2009, I believe. And he'd just been around for a very dysfunctional franchise. they kind of essentially lucked into getting Derrick Rose.
Yes.
Which allowed them, and before that, when they had Heinrich and Ben Gordon and Dane, they had assembled a nice little collection of pieces that finally got them back to the playoffs at least. But then after Rose's injury, they just couldn't do anything right in terms of rebuilding, and to have Forman and Paxson at the head of it all for years after that, it just wasn't working.
So both of them gone. Rose, by the way, hurt against the Sixers.
Yeah, I remember that.
I always like to bring that up.
It's like a 20-point lead in game one.
I'm not happy about that as a Sixers fan, by the way. But yeah, so Gar Forman and Paxson both gone now.
Paxson will be in an advisory role.
Oh, okay.
But Arturis, let's call him that.
Yeah, that's good enough.
Or AK.
AK, that's better.
He has said that the decision-making lies with him, AK. Anything that Paxson is going to try to do or input will be run by AK first.
Got it.
And I'd like to hear that.
We're going to talk to someone that covers the Bulls today. We're going to do that at 5:30, and we'll talk to them. And
Jason Pat, blogabull.com.
Okay, we'll get the idea from Jason on kind of what's going on with the Bulls. I've kind of tuned out from all of it. I'm not a Bulls fan. I'm not a huge NBA fan. I know you were, I don't want to say like you were doing jumping jacks in here, but I know the day that a lot of this went down, it seemed like you and Trevor, and I had heard Jeremy that morning, seemed like all of you guys were pretty excited that at least something has been done to get you leading in the right direction.
Yeah, you want a reason to get excited or to pay attention about the Bulls. You haven't had that for so many years, and you know, I was somebody just like everybody around this area, I guess in my age range, running around the living room in a Michael Jordan jersey. But
right.
And I loved watching D. Rose. It made me watch the NBA on a regular basis. And outside of that, recently, I'm watching college hoops at any given time. But when you look at Arturis coming from the Nuggets, where they have Jokic, they have Jamal Murray, they have Gary Harris, the Bulls have not been a franchise that are even in the mix for free agents recently. They've got that bad of a stigma attached to them.
Wow, that's hard to get over.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't been a reason to pay attention to them.
No.
And now... I'm intrigued. I'll be watching.
We'll see if they can kind of make a steady climb like Brad Underwood has done with this Illinois basketball program, and hopefully that continues. This is hot off the presses. Jeremy Warner just sent this to me. IlliniInquirer.com gets the kudos to this, but Nancy Fay has hired another assistant coach for the women's program, and it's another Marquette assistant. So interesting enough, last month she hired Scott Merritt, who was a Marquette assistant. Today, she hires Vernette Skeet. Skeet coached with Merritt at Marquette for the previous six seasons. Of course, they will replace Tiana Kirkland as Nancy Fay tries to continue to build that women's program as well. Skeet, I'm looking at the article that Jeremy wrote. Skeet played a role along with Merritt in leading Marquette to four consecutive 20-win seasons, three straight NCAA tournaments, would have been a fourth this year, and two Big East titles. So Nancy Faye kind of digging into the Marquette success and trying to make that happen. So, look, again, we've talked about this a lot. I am an Illini women's basketball fan. I want to see that program get back to relevancy. But right now, any kind of move like this doesn't really push the needle. I just hope down the road these are good moves, and hopefully Nancy can bring this program up to, first of all, respectability in the Big Ten, and second of all, maybe eventually a team that can win more than they lose. Because right now, I mean, that's kind of the goal, is to get this team just really relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you list off there that Marquette, the first thing I do is go to their Wikipedia. Have they been in the tournament? Have they been a team that's gone to the NCAA tournament? So 2017, 18, 19 would have been 2020. It remains to be seen the actual impact here going forward. But if these assistants can help you accumulate talent at a higher level, and also player development and everything that goes into it, we'll see. We'll see, but making strides and trying to get back to just where we care, where it's worth talking about on the
fair.
Air.
I mean, think that's fair.
It hasn't been.
No, it hasn't. And I think that's a great way to put that. By the way, Gordon Voigt, he is the sports director over at WAND in Decatur. Gordon has never been with us on the drive, so we're excited to talk to Gordon today. He came up with what's called an all-time five, and essentially he took some of the best basketball programs. I know Centennial was one of those teams. He took some of the best basketball programs in Central Illinois and asked those fans, like Centennial fans, who would be on your all-time five greatest players of Centennial. And then I think he went even a step further and had a bench. So he had like a complete roster for each one of these teams. And now he's doing a bracket. And I want to ask Gordon kind of how this works. I think it's a unique idea. I think he has a 51-page like manual, essentially, on how the all-time five works. So I can't wait to visit with Gordon. We'll do that at 4:30. Again, Jason Pat from bloggable.com. We will talk to him at 5:30 about the Chicago Bulls.
Are you Villagrove's two guard?
I would not make the all-time greats at Villagrove. No. I don't even know. I started thinking to myself, who would be on the all-time Villagrove? I've got a couple names, but you'd have to go back, I think. I don't know. It'd be I may do that. This may inspire me to do this with Villagrove people and try to figure out who would be on the all. I think it'd be cool with every town. How are you, Trevor?
I'm fine.
Good. I think it'd be cool with every area town if they came up with like a roster of football and basketball, women's, you know, girls basketball, softball, and kind of come up with the all-time greats at your high school. Now, obviously, it's tricky because somebody that played in the 70s, now I didn't see him. Now, my dad talked a lot about guys that did and girls, but it's hard. So this undertaking by Gordon Voigt was something that was not easy.
Centennial has two 2009 state members, James Kenney and Ervante Rice. I might lobby for one more.
Roger McClendon, wasn't he at Centennial?
Yep. Trent Meacham.
That's a pretty good
Michael
crew.
Finke's on
Michael
there.
Finke. Would your brother make it?
So I'm going to find out.
We'll ask about that. Yeah, Roger McClendon, of course. It's weird. This is back before recruiting was really a thing, but Roger McClendon ended up going to Cincinnati. Was it Cincinnati? I think he went to Cincinnati to play, and I'm like, why didn't he go to Illinois? But I never have known that story. Maybe somebody out there knows that. All right, so Gordon at 4:30, Jason Pat, Bloggable at 5:30. Thanks to Jeremy again for the info on the new women's assistant hire at Illinois. I also want to shout out to Jeremy for an interview he did with a new offensive lineman for the University of Illinois, and that's Blake Gerasotti. Gerasotti is a guy that played at Wofford. I had a buddy named... His last name was Wofford, so I always wondered if he went to that college, spelled the same, but they say Wofford.
The Terriers.
The Terriers, yeah, which I had a Terrier forever, Rat Terrier.
Who was the kid on Wofford that everybody thought was going to take him to, like, a Final Four? They ended up losing to Kentucky in a shootout, right?
They did have a good team a few years back.
They had someone who, like...
That was last year's tournament.
Yeah, 3-point shooting percentage was, like, 50-something percent.
That's right.
Good.
And he was knocking them down from deep.
He was.
I think he was on my NCAA fantasy team.
Oh, was he?
And he was knocking them down. Yeah, because they won a couple games, didn't they? Or
well,
at least
they won
one?
Their opening round game, and I think they lost to Kentucky.
Okay.
I think.
That's right. I remember that, man. He could
they were
shoot.
Sort of like the sexy
yes.
pick to make it far as a mid-major.
Hammered Seton Hall 84-68 in the opening round game.
Yeah.
And then they lost by 6
okay.
to Kentucky.
The kid you're thinking about had like 40 against Seton Hall.
Fletcher McGee.
That's yep. it.
Perfect name.
Fletcher McGee.
For the little white guy who can shoot.
Come on down, Fletcher. Come on down, buddy.
That's Andrew Tay. In,
boom.
In, what would it be? 8 years?
Yeah, he's in seventh grade now. So that'd be cool if he played at Wofford. I'd take it. I would attend more Wofford games. I'd have to go out east.
Two guard, Andrew Tay.
Boom. Not as good a name, though, as Fletcher McGee, let's be honest. Or Blake Gerasotti. Now, this is a kid that is going to come in and have a chance to play on one of the best offensive lines in the Big Ten, and maybe arguably in the country. I think Illinois returns everyone except for, who am I forgetting here?
Richie Pettibon.
That has moved on, of course, as a senior. So this is a guy, Blake Gerasotti, that has a chance to come in and really make an impact on this offensive line and help. And Jeremy had a chance to catch up with him. Let's hear about his game, Blake Gerasotti.
Well, hey, congratulations, man.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so kind of take me through. Obviously, you had so much success at the lower level, Blake, but take me through what this recruiting process was like for you. I mean, this had to be a whirlwind.
Most definitely. So I entered the portal on Monday, so this Monday. And, you know, it really kind of started fast. Right when I entered my name in the portal, within 30 minutes, about 30, 40 new followers on Twitter. People calling me kind of all around the country, every geographical area. It really was a whirlwind initially. And then, throughout the days, I got more interest just from different areas, Power Five, other five alike. And I think, I finished with, around 15 or 16 offers. So, it was really a great opportunity for me to really vet out where I want to be for my last year of eligibility. And, I really found that Illinois was going to be that place for me. So, I was able to look at a broad range of schools. I had a lot of options, and Illinois was the best one.
So take me through how you kind of vetted through those options, given that, Blake, you can't go anywhere and train and visit anywhere right now.
Yeah, definitely. So Coach McClain, the offensive line coach for Illinois, and then obviously Coach Smith, talking to those two a lot, and then really just understanding, a lot of stuff now is online. So I can go toward the campus. I can look at their facilities, and the facilities are tremendous. That was a huge thing that I was attracted to. Coming from Wofford, the FCS level, it's not as glamorous as people may think or anything like that. So I wanted to go somewhere where I was going to experience the big-time college football, because I know I'm a big-time player, and I aim to prove that when I go to the University of Illinois. So, I guess, like you said, I was the FCS All-American last year. I was able to do some good things on the field, and I just wanted to be somewhere, so I vetted through this because I knew I wanted to be somewhere where I could show kind of what I'm made of and compete at a high level.
Who'd you come down to? Who are some of the schools you came down to?
Definitely. So, I was in, so from a Power Five perspective, at the end of the day, I was really in talks with Illinois, UCLA, Vanderbilt, Rutgers, and from a group of five standpoint, USF and Colorado State were the main two that I pulled. So it's, like I said, it was a lot of great options for me, and I'm very fortunate for Illinois to be in the game, and I was really fortunate to be able to commit there.
So what stuck out about Illinois to you, Blake? What were you looking for that Illinois fit?
So obviously, high-level college football. No matter the school, I wanted to play big-time college football. So, but Illinois specifically, I loved their O-line room had four starters coming back, all extremely talented guys. That whole room in general, from what research I've done, and Coach McClain in that room as well, they have high-level, great guys playing at a great level of football. And, I want to join that. I didn't want to go to a place where I felt like it was going to be rebuilding and we were going to start from scratch. I want to go somewhere where I'm hoping I can compete and earn a piece of that puzzle and really just enhance it. So, I wanted to go somewhere I could pop in and really, really just help and be a catalyst for an already great group. So that was a huge thing for me. I love knowing that their O-line was one of the best in the country, and I would love to just be a better piece of that. And obviously the facilities, that was huge, and the coaching staff treated me very well. Great communication, and I mean, all those great things.
How does this fit schematically for you, Blake? I know you come from that triple option. You're moving a lot of zone stuff, I would imagine. And how does that kind of fit to what Rod Smith and Coach McClain want to do?
So, you know, the Big Ten is an O-line conference. They run the football, play action pass. So, you know, I love running the football. Like you said, I played center at Wofford, and I think they're going to try to use me at offense. Guard here. I did a lot of pulling last year. I was able to move in space a lot of zone scheme, a lot of outside zone scheme. And, you know, I think the reason Illinois and the other big schools were attracted to an undersized guy like me, you know, I'm 6'1", 290 pounds, and that for a guard or center in Big Ten, that's considered undersized. But I think I'm exceptionally athletic. I think I was able to show that at the FCS level. So I'm planning on, you know, trying to enhance myself as much as possible to be able to utilize those zone scheme skills to the Big Ten.
Obviously, Blake, you do this right to challenge yourself. What did you learn at Wofford, though? Like, what was Wofford? What was that experience like for you?
Wow, I mean, that's a long story. I mean, I Coach Mike Ayers, he was there for 30 years. He brought me in. He took a chance on me. So, kind of my story is, you know, I've got a chance of taking on me my whole career. He took a chance on me. He developed me. And then, you know, we had a staff change going into my junior year. And our new O-line coach Trey Johnson, he played center at Wofford as well. He taught me a tremendous amount of things about the game of football. And, just so much from a football standpoint. But then in the classroom and in the institution at Wofford itself, you have to work hard. You're not going to get lost in the mix, especially at a small school like Wofford. You know, everybody's held accountable. You really can't hide. And I think that really served me well, you know, from really all aspects of life. You really can't hide. You have to hold yourself accountable.
So for you, what's this opportunity mean to play at the Big Ten, Blake?
You know, it means a tremendous amount that I was given the opportunity. But what will mean a lot more is the work that I'm going to have to put in these next few months here to prepare myself for that level of football. You know, I'm not naive to the fact the Big Ten is a lot different than the Southern Conference. I'm fully aware, but I'm also aware, so like I'm excited for that, and I'm really just looking forward to these next few months where I really get to put in work, talk to the O-line guys in that room, try to prepare myself mentally, and to get rolling.
Obviously, you played some tough teams every year. Clemson this past year. What'd you learn about yourself going up against a team like that?
Yeah, I mean, going into that game, I was looking forward to it, man. I mean, you really have nothing to lose walking into that stadium, and it's always a good time. But I learned, you know, about midway through the first quarter, I was sitting on the bench. Me and you probably saw that our right tackle Josh Berger entered the transfer portal as well this week. You know, we were talking and we were like, man, like, dude, what are we doing? Like, we can play with these dudes all day long, up and down the field. Like, this is crazy. So, and you can watch the film and realize that you know, I had a pretty good game against them. And by the end of the game, when their twos were in, and we were just kind of driving, we scored 14 points. We scored 14 points against their ones, and then they brought their twos in. So it's like, it was cool to us just saying like, wow, we really can do this thing. Yeah. And we really have an opportunity to, try this thing at the next level because I was able to, prove it there.
You're joining an offensive line that's got some big dudes, but Doug Kramer's a center here too. So they said you are going to play guard there. And what is it about, you know, I guess you guys would call yourself scrappy, but I don't know if that's a term of endearment for you guys, but similar games, I would think. Just guys who might be undersized, quote unquote, for the Power 5 level, but find a way to get done.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot about Doug, and he is a fantastic center. In the Big Ten. And, I think Coach McClain's plan is to fit me somewhere on the inside. I assume it's that right guard position where we graduated last year. But, you know, like I've said to Coach McClain and like I've said, you know, everybody I've talked to, you know, I want to go in here and earn everything that I get. So I'm extremely excited for that opportunity. But, yeah, no, I mean, me and undersized guys like Doug, he's a pretty big dude, though. But I think that's what we try to do, be as athletic as possible. You know, take what we can control. So the weight room, our explosiveness, and stuff like that. So that's super important. But I know those guys are stellar offensive linemen. They're really good. I've watched a lot of film on them.
So what are you doing right now, Blake, with this pandemic? I know it's such a weird time for everybody. How do you prepare yourself for getting ready for whenever you're able to get to Illinois?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I'm fortunate I have access to a full weight room in Charleston, South Carolina. So I'm able, I feel like, to really get ahead of the curve. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, I'm obviously trying to make extreme gains right now to be ready for that level of football. So I'm really focusing on that, doing everything I can to eat right and, you know, get bigger practically, get faster, get stronger, get more explosive. So I'm really, that's kind of my main focus right now.
How did you go about this so quickly, Blake? You know, you said you entered on Monday. Did you have a kind of an idea of what you wanted to do?
So, for me, that's a great question, man. You know, I didn't want to drag my feet. I wanted to be very decisive. You know, I'm 21 years old. It's a lot different than coming out of high school. Like, coming out of high school, you're going to go places. And I think this would have went slower if I was able to, you know, travel everywhere. You know, that takes time. But, you know, I wanted to be decisive. I'm 21 years old. I wanted to make a grown man decision. And when it came down to it, so I'm not sure. I mean, I'm sure you're really familiar with the transfer portal, but
right.
You enter and everybody sees you enter. Like, it's common knowledge. Everybody knows who's in and who's out. So for me, it was like, all right, they know I'm in. They've seen my film. Do they want me or not? And Illinois, they were one of the first ones on me. And I, you know, like I said, I thank all those other schools who believed in me as well. But for teams, once I commit to Illinois, for teams to start calling me now, it's kind of crazy. I'm like, dude, just because Illinois believes in me, it makes me feel good. Y'all believe in me, but I'm good. So
yeah.
It's kind of crazy, believe it or not, what happens after the fact of commitment, the amount of teams once they have that confirmation that you're a player, they're willing to take a chance on you. I don't want to really deal with them. I would much rather go with someone who believes in me initially.
One, it shows it's ruthless, but two, it shows, yeah, they want some confirmation. You're right. Before I let you go, Blake, and appreciate the time, what would you have told yourself as, I guess, a high school prospect that, you know, you could play Big Ten ball and play for Lovie Smith?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, coming out of high school, man, I had three offers. Wofford, Elon, and Charleston Southern. So it was, and now, you know, being able to do what I've done at Wofford and even just have the opportunity to go, you know, to go work for Coach Smith and the Illinois football program is really, it's just surreal. And you know, I know I've done a lot of work myself, but I thank Wofford for that. Mm-hmm. I thank all my coaches. I thank my teammates for pushing me every day, because it doesn't happen in bad programs. It doesn't happen. You know, you don't get guys, you know, progressing like that. So I really thank my teammates for all that. And, you know, it's such an honor. It really is.
I don't know if I asked you, what stuck out about Coach McClain and Coach Rod Smith for you?
I mean, just great, genuine guys. They were really straight up with me. They told me exactly. They weren't beating around the bush. They really just told me how it is and what I need to do to earn the spot. And they really cared about my character too. They didn't just care about the kind of football player I was. They cared that I wanted to get a master's in finance, which my academics was really important to me. Mm-hmm. They cared about my family. They didn't just care about what I can produce for them or what I can give them. And then I've heard great stories about Coach Smith and how he takes care of players. So it's, you know, both of those. I mean, it really is when they say, like, the Illinois family, like, it really does mean something. I'm in it for, what, an hour now or whatever? But I can already kind of still feel it. So I'm excited. I mean, I want to win games, though. Like, yeah. That's why I really, at the end of the day, wanted to go to Illinois, because I know for a fact that Coach Smith has this program on an upward trend, and I definitely want to ride the wave, and I want to, you know, be a piece of that puzzle.
Great stuff, Blake Gerasotti. That interview by Jeremy Warner, of course, they aired that this morning on the Jeremy Warner Show. This is a guy, and they alluded to it, Derek, but he's going to come in on an offensive line that has four starters back, including Doug Kramer, who was all Big Ten center last year, and Gerasotti played a lot of center at Wofford, but it sounds like he'll mix right into that guard spot right next to Doug Kramer up front. I think a little undersized, but I think a guy that has the experience to come in and play in this kind of an offense and help out.
Yeah, and you can never have enough depth, and clearly there's opportunity there as the fifth spot with Pettibon out. Is Vertus Brown going to step up? That's one guy that we've really highlighted as someone that has the opportunity, but he's inexperienced. Yep. So to bring this guy in, I know it's FCS, but FCS All-American, clearly he's played a lot of football and he's a veteran presence. So he's going to be able to compete for an opportunity, and you can never have too many guys up front knowing that that's a position that can get hurt, knock on wood, that hopefully it doesn't happen to Illinois.
And I know from reading InlinaEnquirer.com with Jeremy that I know there's a couple of other offensive linemen they're looking at that might be a sit one, play two kind of thing, because all of a sudden you think to 2 years from now you've lost your entire offensive line, right? And you got a guy like Virtus Brown, you got a guy like Julian Pearl out of Danville that they're hoping big things for. So it's going to be one of those where, you know, that's the other thing about coming up this season with Illinois, and part of why I think it could be a really, I don't want to say, when I say magical, it almost sounds like I've got them in the Rose Bowl or something, but I really think it could be a really good season because you have an offensive line that was one of the better in the Big Ten, I think, coming back. And when you have that kind of, fluidity, if you will, on that offensive line, it makes a big difference.
Yeah, you should have a ton of expectations for that offense, for sure.
Yep.
And you still got to find a running back and who's going to replace Dre and Reggie. But your questions are on defense, but clearly the continuity, the experience up front, Brandon Peters coming back another year in the system, receivers, assuming they stay healthy.
Luke Ford
to the mix. There's a lot to be excited about on offense.
And
for
that secondary with Beeson, Ben Marquez Beeson, hopefully he'll be healthy. If you give me a healthy Marquez Beeson and a fresh Luke Ford. I kind of tweeted that out the other day. I'm like, please give me those two guys and see what they do. It'll be fun. All right, good stuff there. Again, thanks to Jeremy and the interview with Blake Jarasotti. Look for him to be hopefully manning one of the guard spots this season if we play football.
I'll do that.
All right, when we come back, WAND Sports Director Gordon Voigt, he has come up with an all-time five, and it's centered around high school basketball. Is your town on this list? We'll ask him, and he'll just explain kind of how he came up with this, and I think he's down to his Final Four or Elite Eight, so we'll find out who is still alive. Is Centennial still alive? We'll find out next. It is The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
There will be parties again soon and family gatherings. There'll be parades and sporting events and concerts to help our communities when they come back together. Respond to the 2020 census now. Spend a few minutes online today to impact the next 10 years of healthcare, infrastructure, and education. Respond online today to make America's tomorrow brighter. Shape your future. Start here at 2020census.gov. Paid for by U.S. Census Bureau.
If you're a pro, Lowe's knows your job hasn't stopped. We're here to help with the supplies you need to make repairs and keep people's homes running smoothly at this important time. From our convenient curbside loading to job site delivery to savings on the products you need most, our focus is to help keep your business moving forward. Lowe's is open, and we're pro ready.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands, Inc. Your heating and cooling system works hard for you all year long to keep you and your family comfortable. That's why it's important to have it maintained and serviced regularly. Our techs are ready to help you with all your indoor air quality, humidity, and filtration needs. Visit LandsInc.com today for specials on a brand new train system for your home and to see for yourself why it's hard to stop a train. At Lands, Inc., our commitment is to you, the customer. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
There is one name you need to know in car repair in the Central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change, trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
Reynolds Towing Service in Urbana has been serving the community since 1980, and they want to extend a sincere thank you to local doctors, nurses, and first responders for the incredible support and assistance they're providing during these unprecedented times. We may not know what the future holds, but can rest easy knowing we're in good hands thanks to all of our local medical heroes. And if you still need towing or roadside assistance, Reynolds Towing remains open. Stop by 1417 West Kenyon Road in Urbana or call 337-0913.
College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences has been part of the University of Illinois from day one, working toward the essential goal of improving daily life for people close to home and around the world. Their work in food, agriculture, families, healthy communities, and the environment delivers real-world solutions. Now more than ever, they're honored to be part of the U of I family and proud to be committed to building a better future. They're more than meets the eye. Learn more at aces.illinois.edu.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante, Derek Piper. Good stuff with Blake Gerasotti. I hope, man, there better be football, Derek Piper. We just had
we
kind of
we can't go on this day-to-day.
Oh,
that was just the hope or the expectation. We'll get there when we get there.
Somebody
has to do that.
I saw somebody tweet today. It may have been Dave Wishnowski. That he was like, you know, I could handle this better if I knew there was an end in sight. Like, if they said to you, July 1st, everything will be back to normal. Then at least in your mind, you're like, okay, so let's say you lost a job and you're trying to fight through your savings or whatever, you know, to try to piece yourself to a certain date to where you can maybe go to the bank or maybe you tell whatever, hey, you know what, if you can let me slide this month or this month and, you know, but on July 1st, everything will be back to, but we don't even have that. I mean, it could be next July 1st. And that's the one thing that I think plays on anxiety with a lot of people. But, hey, we keep trudging on here. We keep talking sports, and that's what we want to do. And there's somebody that is trying to fill time just like you and I are, Derek, and that's Gordon Voigt, sports director, WAND. How are you, Gordon?
What's up, guys? Hey, I want to lead off by saying that I am not worthy of the Wiz Khalifa walk-up song, but I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
That was random.
Black and yellow and Gordon Voigt. Do not necessarily get put in the same category, but I'm grateful.
Not a Steelers fan, huh?
I'm a Bears fan. Bears.
Oh. Well, are
big
you
Bears fan?
Are you from up north, Gordon? Where are you from?
I am. I'm from Wilmette, the north suburb of Chicago. Born and raised Bears, Bulls, Cubs, Sausage, Ditka. And fun fact, I was born on the same street as Bill Murray. That's my only claim to fame that I earned 0% of. But
well, that's better than
me. There you
go. I was born a day after Matt Damon. That's my only claim to fame. So there you go. Trevor has tried for years to get Matt Damon on the air. And this year we both celebrate our 50th. It'd be nice if Matt would join us one day and we could both toast, you know, to our 50th birthday. But so far, no luck with Matt Damon.
And you've got the WAND connection, too, because you filmed part of The Informant here. So,
yeah.
Boom, you'd have something to talk about.
I didn't even think about that. That's a great idea. Gordon Voigt, WAND sports director. Follow him on Twitter, at Gordon Voigt. It's V-O-I-T, kind of like Luke, who the Cardinals traded away. All right, Gordon, I want to ask you, what exactly are you doing to fill time at WAND during sports?
So I've basically dedicated the last 3 months of my life to a project that I call All Time Five. And it all started, you know, there's a long backstory, but I got this itch in the back of my brain where I was like, man, what's the best five I could put on a basketball court from my high school of all time? If you took players from the 20s, 50s, 80s, present day, just what's the best possible lineup? And I just one day I just tweeted it out and it blew up. And I think 30 something thousand people saw it within a couple days. And I thought, you know what? I think we're onto something. And so the short version is that we brought it to the 217. And I basically said, of all the schools in our viewing area, so from Beardstown west of Jacksonville all the way to there's even a county in Indiana that we broadcast to, you know, if you account for all of the history at every school, who would be the best team? And then how would they do if they were to go against each other? So the past 3 months really has been an enormous amount of research. I basically every night and every weekend I've been diving into as many newspaper archives as I can find, you know, old lists, all area lists, and really just been an incredibly rewarding experience getting to celebrate some of this amazing history that even some people in the communities themselves don't know about.
That's awesome.
Gordon, that's a really cool undertaking, and I want to ask you more about some of these teams in particular. I think last I saw the Elite Eight, is that where you're still at? Voting was last week for the Elite Eight. Have teams moved on from there?
So in an hour and approximately 40 minutes, I'll be releasing the results of the Elite Eight. So basically the short version is I spent the past couple months releasing the teams in order in like seed pods. So I did the 8 seeds 1 week, the 7 seeds, the 6 seeds. And that all culminated with Selection Sunday, which was the Sunday, I believe, after the real Selection Sunday.
Nice.
And so that was phase one. That's complete, releasing the teams. And so, yeah, now we're in the bracket mode. So every week has been a different round. So a round of we actually had a play-in game for the 32nd spot. Got to have a play-in game. And we had first round, Sweet 16. So today is when I'm going to be releasing the Elite Eight. So the winner of those regionals are going to go to Assembly Hall for the Final Four and the championship game.
Nice. I like
it. And so tonight, nobody knows except for me who those winners are going to be. But we have in your neck of the woods, we've got Mount Zion was the 4 seed. They pulled off a couple upsets, including of Champaign Central. That's the lowest remaining seed. They're going to be taking on Danville as the 2 seed for a spot in the Final Four. And those games, that regional is Lance Arena at EIU. So it's Vikings and Braves.
I love it.
Gordon, I'm from Centennial, Champaign Centennial. How did they fare? I'm assuming they're maybe knocked out by now. A couple of talented players, 2009 state championship team I'm familiar with, and I was a senior there.
D-Pipe, I had so much fun digging into the Centennial history. You know, I knew about the Rayvante Rices and the Trent Meachams. But the guys I didn't know about were like U.S. Davidson was a player who went to Kansas State and then he transferred to North Dakota State. But he was a bona fide superstar in the 70s. Probably one of the top 2 or 3 scorers in school history at the high school level, put up about 23 a game.
Wow.
So, but he actually was coming off the bench. And so that was a very difficult lineup for me to piece together because I had to decide, do I want to do it based off a traditional 2 guards, 2 forwards, and a center, or do I just want to put the 5 best scorers on the court? And so what I ended up doing was I did that. So I had Coleco Bowie at the 5, so it's 6'5". You know, of course, a lot of people are familiar with him locally at Parkland. But he had an incredible career. He started off at Chicago State. I think he put up like 16 a game as a freshman. Then he transferred to Missouri State. Had a great career there. So he was anchoring the 5, and then this was the best scoring team of any team that I think was in this whole tournament, just in terms of college production. You had Trent Meacham as the distributor, but then you had Rayvante Rice, you had James Kinney, who put up 20 plus a game at San Jose State, and then you had
Roger McClendon?
Roger McClendon was the superstar, and that's, I think a lot of people don't know, there are 4 McDonald's All-Americans in our viewing area's history. One of them is Roger McClendon, wow. Champaign Centennial High School, which is, that to me is incredible. And that's something that I think a lot of people that aren't diehards of the Chargers didn't know. But, man, he tore it up in the 80s, McDonald's All-American, then he went to Cincinnati, and he retired as the number 2 all-time leading scorer behind a player named Oscar Robertson.
Jeez.
Man.
And nowadays, what's even cooler, and this is one of my favorite parts of this project, is he's now a business executive. He was a high-ranking official with the Yum brand in Louisville, and now he works for a green tech company. And I just think that's so cool because I've gotten to reconnect with a lot of people. I talked to Uwe Blob, the great Uwe Blob from Effingham, played in the NBA for 5 years, graduated, took the Hearts to the 1980 state championship game. And so just getting to reconnect with these people, you know, decades after the magic happens is been incredible. But D-Pipe, to answer your question, we went 4 deep with the guards and then Coleco Bowie, and then we had Michael Finke is a player that I really, really, really wanted to put in the starting lineup, and he'll get, you know, 25 minutes, probably put up a double-double. But just to start the game, I try to maximize the strength of each team, and this team can really hit other teams with having 5 scorers, 5 shooters, 5 people who can handle the ball. So This is one of my favorite small ball lineups. And last tidbit on the Chargers, they were the 2 seed in the North region. And they got upset by Warrensburg Latham.
Wow.
Who was a 7 seed. That was arguably the second biggest upset. I think it might have been the biggest upset of the first round. But it was a 2-7 game in the North region. And the Chargers had every advantage. So I do it based, without getting into the whole system, I do it on tickets. So there were 10 tickets in the pot for Centennial, 4 for Warrensburg. So Warrensburg overcame 5-2 odds to knock off the 2 seed. So that was one of the most shocking upsets of the first round to me, because I thought that Centennial team might go all the way. And they, you know what? If I did it again tomorrow, they probably could go all the way.
Yeah.
Very talented team.
Possibly. Gordon Voigt is our guest, sports director at WAND. I want more people in our area to really research this, because I think this is a cool thing. You just mentioned you had Central, you had Centennial, Danville's still alive. I'm going to have you read your final Elite Eight here. I know we can't know the Final Four until tonight. But before we do that, how do you, like, when somebody's out there going, no, wait a minute, how did Warrensburg then upset them? You have a formula you use.
I do.
And fans can be a part of it. So, Gordon, explain exactly how you do this to where a team advances in the bracket.
Okay, I'm going to try not to seem like the guy in Manchurian Candidate who's got the conspiracy theories in his basement with the pieces of yarn, you know, connecting different various ramblings and scribblings. And okay, so basically there are 4 factors that can earn a team tickets into the pot that I then draw from. 1 is the fan vote. That's worth 3 tickets. So I just did a popular vote. Who do you think would win? That's 3 tickets. I have what's called chalk, so the difference of the seedings. If number 1 Lanphier plays number 8 Mount Pulaski, the difference is 7, so I give 7 tickets to the favorite.
Got it.
That helps account for who should win, theoretically. Then I have my pick. So as the person who researched this, that needs to be at least somewhat of a factor. So
yep.
That's 3 tickets for the person I pick. And then I have what's called chaos, where I flip a coin 3 times.
Because I love
that
it.
Also, you know, any kind of tournament, we're talking about March Madness here. This isn't who has the best roster. It, you know, luck and magic needs to be a factor. So those 4 factors go into a pot, and then I just do a best of 3. I draw 3 tickets, and if we have, you know, for example, Centennial lost, it was, let's see here, it was BBA. So Warrensburg won the first 2 draws. So that was a pretty surprising outcome, but I did actually go based on the formula. I didn't have to doctor anything.
That's awesome.
So it's pretty interesting because we did have some pretty big upsets.
I bet. So who's remaining in this thing?
So in the East region, as I said before, Atlantis Arena, EIU, that's where the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 are. We have 2 seed Danville, who is the hottest team in the whole field right now. They I think they're the one of only 2 teams that's gone a perfect 3-0 both rounds.
Wow.
They just totally race-boated the other team. So Danville is taking on Mount Zion, who's the lowest remaining seed, number 4, which there's actually some historical precedent to back up them making that far, but that's for another day. As we go to the North region, that's the upper right quadrant of the bracket. These games are at Redbird Arena. It's 1 seed Lincoln, who's the number 2 overall seed in the whole thing.
Just give him the title. Just give him the title. That's what I told you. They're unbelievable. I want you to read that roster here after a while.
Okay, yeah. Then this is off the top of my head, but I've lived in this, marinated in it for 3 months. So you've got Norm Cook, who was a top 20 NBA draft pick to the Celtics after having a stellar career at Kansas for a couple of years. Then you've got his son, Brian Cook, who everybody knows, needs no introduction. Also a first-round NBA pick, McDonald's All-American, Big Ten Player of the Year. So you've got them two. But the thing with this team is that it goes way deeper even than that. They have one of the 4 McDonald's All-Americans is Chuck Verderber, who was a player 6'6" forward in the 70s who went and started at Kentucky.
Incredible.
Had a very good career at Kentucky. So Chuck Verderber, that'll be a stumper. If you ask somebody at a bar, you know, who are the 4 McDonald's All-Americans? So it's those 3. Then you have Dan Duff, who went to Notre Dame, point guard from the 80s, who has more than 200 assists, more than number 2 on the career assist list at that school, which is scary.
Incredible.
And then the 5th player is Greg Alexander, Neil's son, scoring record at Lincoln, has a bunch of other records, and had an incredible career at Illinois State. And so that's just the starting five, but they've got another All-American, Seymour Reed from Bradley, who was an ABA draft pick, coming off the bench. So that they're just scary. And then they've also got arguably the best coach of the whole thing, Neil Alexander.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
They're taking on MacArthur,
ooh,
who was a little bit of a surprise as a three seed. They almost got upset by Warrensburg-Latham in the Sweet 16, but the Generals advanced. And so it's Lincoln and MacArthur in the finals of the North Region, Redbird Arena. That'll be interesting. And then as we go to the bottom left quadrant, which is the South Region, games played at the old Kintner Gym, which Lon knows well and good, was the old Stephen Decatur High School,
sure,
a massive historic facility that was tragically torn down.
Yes.
But the Stephen Decatur Running Reds, the number four overall seed, the one seed in that in the South Region, they've dominated too. They're the other team that's gone a perfect 3-0.
Awesome.
They're taking on the we've got the three seed Effingham Hearts,
okay,
led by Uwe Blob and also another German import, Chris Weisheit, who,
oh, wow,
was going to go to Maryland in the mid '80s, was probably the best overall prospect in the state, arguably, but he had Marfan syndrome, like, oh, Isaiah Austin's heart condition, so he had to retire. But a lot of people don't know, you know, they have twin 7-2 centers, so Effingham is a tough team, not to mention Mitch Arnold, who put up 15 a game for Fresno State. So it's Stephen Decatur, Effingham in the finals there. And then finally, at the BOS Center in Springfield, that's the West Region, you've got Lanphier, who is the number one overall seed, has three McDonald's All-Americans, three NBA players, a partridge in a pear tree, not to mention an NBA Finals MVP and Andre Iguodala.
Right.
Taking on a surprise three seed that had one of the biggest upsets is the Jacksonville Crimsons,
ooh,
who I would argue is the best team that nobody knows about. That program has studs. And they upset number two seed Springfield High, who I thought might win it all. They've got probably the second-best NBA player of them all, Dave Robish, who played for 15
right,
years in the ABA and NBA, Big 6'10", Kansas Center. They got upset by the Crimson, so it's Lanphier-Jacksonville at the BOS Center for a spot in the Final Four. So there you go. That's
awesome.
The Elite Eight.
That is so cool.
Gordon, is Lante the two-guard for Villa Grove in the CBI or no?
Oh, listen. Even if you wouldn't make the roster, I have put, like, friends of the program on these rosters.
Yes.
And he is 1,000% on the Big Ten roster.
Yeah, well, that's what I would need. I would need a vote in there from somebody that runs it to even make that list. This is
stop.
Hey, Gordon.
There were so many teams in this, though. I mean, there are four programs that won state championships that did not make the top 33.
Wow.
That's how competitive this was.
Well, I think it's incredible. Do you know, when this is said and done, will you, I know,
yeah,
I was laughing, I think you got like a 51-page manual on this thing. Will you post that anywhere to where, you know, fans,
absolutely,
or listeners would get a chance to look at this one day and kind of look up on, brush up not only on their school, but also other,
yeah,
like you said, the studs that have come from Central Illinois.
Absolutely. And so basically I've made it available piece by piece. And it is, I think if I'm going to factor in, because I don't just announce the winners. I give like a full game recap, how it would have gone down, who the MVP of the game was, who the X factor off the bench was. So there's a lot of basically explanation too. So if you factor in the research reports and the game recaps, I think we're probably talking around 75 pages and,
wow,
probably close to north of 20,000 words, I would imagine.
Oh.
So I would, that's a great question, and I haven't decided if I'm going to publish something, like,
okay,
in a book. I've been asked about that. You know, like a, you know, soft cover packet type book.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, absolutely, it will be made available. And the other thing is, when I release this, it's not set in stone. It's impossible for me to look, you know, I'm not this all-seeing, all-knowing, you know, eye of Sauron that can peer into the past. And so, like, I've missed some really good players, and I've been very open about that I need people to chime in and be like, hey, why didn't you put, you know, Terry Brown, the 6'9 center from T-Town that went to Indiana State, or how could you leave off Blake Shilb, from Rantoul, which was easily my worst omission because I grew up 5 miles from the campus of Loyola, you know.
Right.
Cheering him on and playing with him in video games. And how do I miss, you know, arguably the best player, not named Kareem Richardson of all time from Rantoul. But so, yeah, I am imperfect. This is an imperfect list. It's always changing. I need feedback, and I welcome feedback. If you see somebody that shouldn't be on or that should be on that was omitted, I would love to hear from you.
Awesome. Gordon Voigt, great stuff, buddy. We're running out of time here, but I'm glad you had a chance to kind of sum all that up. So tonight at 6, and then I assume at 10.
And at 10 o'clock, yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, so the bracket will be, or the Final Four will be unveiled. And I love they're playing it at the Assembly Hall. The old school Assembly Hall is the final. So
it's not State Farm Center. It's Assembly Hall.
We're going old school. Gordon Voigt, we'll do it again one day, my friend. This is great. Next time we'll talk to you about, hopefully the next time we'll talk to you about actual sports that are going on. Does that sound good?
Hey, I love it, guys. This is a blast. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome, buddy. Gordon Voigt, again, follow him on Twitter, at Gordon Voigt. That's V-O-I-T. And tonight on WAND at 6 and 10, he will unveil the Final Four of that. I mean, that is a big, big undertaking. And I, for one, would be someone very interested in looking at all the teams, because you do forget, like, I was looking at the roster, he posted the Lincoln roster, and I was going through that like, holy crap. Like, just the guys that did not only unbelievable things in high school, but went on to do big things in college and, sure, and some in the NBA, as he talked about, with Andre Iguodala and such. So a lot of good talent coming from Central Illinois, and you kind of forget about
exactly.
it. So it's really cool to see that. But we forgot to ask if your brother was on that team.
We'll have to
resubmit
it as an omission.
Yep. There you go. Well, make him do it.
Yeah, I would just suggest it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, make him fight for his role on the Centennial team. That is a good team if Michael Finke doesn't even draw a starting spot. That's incredible. All right, good stuff with Gordon Voigt. Make sure you check that out tonight on WAND at 6 and 10. All right, when we come back, Derek is going to make me look like an idiot.
Oh, we're doing that, huh?
Are we going to do it?
Let's do it.
We're going to do a game of war.
Waging wars.
And this is the, what does it even stand for in baseball?
Wins above replacement.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So we're going
to
do that.
Spend 20 minutes explaining to you what it is, and then we've got a few matchups.
Okay. I'm anxious to do this because I know nothing about sabermetrics. So it could be interesting. 5:30, we'll talk to Jason Pat. Blogofbull.com. Talk about the Bulls. Lot to do. Stay with us. The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck. Movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.